January 18th, HMT, 2017.
Yeah, for the circuit study that are being reared at Smith Farm for transport to lookout point, basically. Willamette Hatchery.
Okay. And what?
I wanted to get a contact information to ask if there's a truck available, what it would cost to move. It's about 600 fish. Who do I call?
600 fish?
600 pounds.
600 pounds.
I can do it for about 18 grand.
Thanks.
There you go.
Have 18.
We'll have to put this out to bid. Yeah, so that's probably more than Rob wants to transport. Todd Hansen's our Region Liberation Coordinator.
Todd Hansen. I think I've spoken to him a couple years ago. Todd Hansen.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to get started. Who do we have in the line?
Cameron.
Brian.
This is Greg.
Brett.
All right. I know Aaron's out there.
And Aaron, but I'm just going to have it on mute. Otherwise, you'll hear my birds the whole time.
Okay.
You should get fish for your office. It's quiet.
All right, we're going to get started. Looking at the agenda, it's awfully short. First, I guess I would just want to ask, is there anything to add to it? All right. First item for the last time you guys met was in November. Cam and Ryan both provided comments that were incorporated. Were there any other comments? All right. Sounds like those are approved. First action item is related to the Minto hoist breaker. I think most folks know we've had issues with that breaker. A specific incident where we lost a lot of fish. There have been some follow-up actions on that. I don't recall the exact date, but we had a site visit with Ed Meyer from NIMS, myself, some folks from the project to talk about where we want to head in terms of fixing this potential issue. There was discussion about moving the breaker, although the feasibility is unclear if that would actually be something we could do. So it looks like where we're headed, and I'm not sure of the time frame. I need to talk to project folks and Greg and others, Ryan as well. And it looks like we may try to put some sort of walkway or some sort of way to access that breaker so that if we were to trip that breaker again, we could easily flip that breaker so we could use the hoist and avoid an incident like we had. I guess in the interim, there was also discussion about potentially having some sort of man truck or some sort of truck with a lift so that if it did go down before we actually got that access or walkway installed, we'd be able to flip the breaker that way. And again, we'll have to continue to move this forward so that we don't run into this again. Any questions on the Minto hoist breaker, or any thoughts from you, Greg?
Nope. Just hopefully we'll have some sort of fix before we start using it in June.
Right. I'm guessing the interim fix will have to be the truck, some sort of lift. And I think they left something after it happened last time, and I know we talked about that a little bit, but I wasn't sure of status. It sounded like maybe that was not going to be available, but myself or Andy will follow up on that in terms of what we can do, whether we want to rent something, the cost, or if there's something available at the project. All right.
The other follow-up piece on that, Chris, was related to Foster. Brett, you may know, but it sounded like there was the high likelihood that we had the same scenario at Foster, maybe address it at the same time if we were going to address it. Do you know, Brett, is it is the breaker issue on the hoist the same design as Pinto? Hey, Brett, you there?
We may have lost him. Well, that's a good point, Ryan. I know we did talk about that at the site visit to make sure that same issue would, or to check to see if we had that same issue at Foster. So we may be doing this something similar there as well at Foster.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I think it was looked like it's in the on the agenda in the action item as a follow up. I just didn't know if we had followed up on Foster or not.
Right. I don't think we had. So thanks for pointing that out.
Okay, thanks.
All right, next, biosecurity for Marion Forks. I'm reading through it right now as we speak. I guess there was supposed to be some sort of update from Sarah with Fish Health that would help inform what we think we might want to do or how we plan to move forward. Anyone hear from Sarah or have any information?
And feel free to jump in, Greg. So Sarah had been working on a hatchery fish health assessment, biosecurity assessment related to passage of Chinook and or steelhead. She just wrapped that up a couple weeks ago here, some internal review and discussion, and I can send that out to you, Chris, and Andy and others that want to take a look. So In terms of action, that was really the action leaving the last meeting was to wrap that up. We just got that completed, so I'll send that out for circulation.
Okay, sounds good. And then there was also discussion about artificial reds in the Brighton Bush. It sounds like some folks were on board with that. Not sure where it's headed at this point. I haven't heard anything. I don't know what needs to happen in terms of planning.
So it was going to be brought up at the WF Palm and the steering team, and I don't know if that happened. I was asked to come up with a estimate of the total number of adults that we might expect to come back that would be the brood for, that would produce the eggs that would be used to make the artificial reds. Tom already did that in his report, and it's very, very loose because we just don't know what SARs are going to be for fish released. But he came up with an estimate over the course of 5 years about 200 adults might come back, something like 200. So 200 adults over 5 years. There's probably going to be a peak year in there when it's going to be mostly two-year-olds. So I don't know which year that's going to be, but it'll be next year or the year after that the peak number per year will come back. Still a reasonable number. I mean, if we get, say, 10 pairs or 20 pairs back in a year, it's not out of the question that we would just sequester them and spawn them and use them for reintroduction.
Okay.
Awesome. Problems with that because of the price tag on the UV treatment. $1.5 million for that? Really?
Yeah, wow. I don't even know. My exposure to fancy treatment systems is limited, so.
Well, that's a lot more than kind of we were thinking. Maybe it's ignorance on our part, but holy mackerel.
I guess if you want to, we can just a quick point on that. Cam is what drives up the price is the susceptibility, the timing of rearing, basically. So the bull Chinook and steelhead are quite susceptible to IHN up to 200 to the pound, which means we can't only treat the indoor rearing facilities. We also need to treat the outdoor rearing facilities.
Wow, so the ponds have to get filtered water too. Okay.
Correct. I mean, that probably is the simple solution.
You mentioned it was going to get brought up at steering team in Wolf Palm. Wolf Palm meets next week, so I'll make sure that we discuss that or get that on the agenda. I'll talk to Ian also to see if they talked about it as steering team. Because I have not heard.
And then
from our perspective, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Cam.
Okay, from our perspective, the likely number of fish coming back does support the idea that we can have a miniature hatchery program. The fish are all pit tagged, and I don't think that there are any roadblocks operationally with spawning those fish and getting access to the eggs. Everything depends upon the fish health assessment and the risks that Sarah brought up.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that from folks?
I guess my only general thought is, the feasibility operationally, as Cam mentioned, is certainly doable. Probably the hiccup and probably not the conversation for this group is the policy piece of it. I think that's where the roadblocks are going to be. And then on the biosecurity stuff, I guess I see that as extremely crucial for the sake of Marine Forks, if you will. But I guess I don't see that as the reintroduction driver, right? So there's a lot of other reintroduction work that needs to happen.
Right. Like fish passage?
Alongside. Fish passage, reintroduction plans.
Right.
So I guess that, in my mind, that biosecurity at Marine Forks isn't the trigger or the driver of, okay, now we have treatment, start reintroduction. I think that's a bit out of context
right.
in my mind.
I think the reintroduction plan is key.
Right.
All right, any other thoughts on that? Foster fish ladder attraction. It says Noah has some low-cost suggestions. One example was a tunnel. The tunnel leading to the trap is too dark, so the suggestion was to put light in there. But apparently there are more recommendations that they're going to send. I haven't received any. I don't believe Annie's received any. So more than likely we'll be discussing that at the next hatchery management team meeting, unless Lance is on the line or someone else has heard anything.
Hey, Brett, are you on?
Yeah.
You want to, it sounds like we all know basically what's written on the agenda there, but do you want to, any thoughts on that point, on the ladder attraction?
Yeah, it goes against everything that I've experienced working in a fish hatchery for 25 years. Fish don't like light, typically, and I think, they're more attracted to flow. I think we also have other studies that have proved that they actually, the Corps has even funded, that they, looking at some of the camera footage and some of the other data that show basically fish move at night a lot of the time as well. So, I mean, it kind of goes against a lot of data, so I don't know. My only concern is hopefully we can have an opportunity to discuss this, but I think a lot of people over there are just kind of just randomly pulling ideas and... that maybe aren't necessarily based upon science. So I think we need to make sure that we all discuss those ideas before we, which sounds like we're going to do.
Right,
spend a bunch of money and start, let's try this, let's try that, at basically our expense of time, a lot of manpower and a lot of, potential lost opportunity to capture these fish by maybe not attracting them and doing the opposite of what they're intending.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
I was just going to say my take was pretty similar to Brett's in that, I mean, again, we don't know a lot here. We don't know. We haven't seen Noah's suggestions. However, that seems to be in opposition to what we're learning from the U of I video and telemetry work.
Right. My experience is the same. We definitely want to review the science before we did anything. My only thought was I've seen some research where fish like to move at dusk. So I don't know if that's light driven or what, but maybe it's just dark enough and they start moving and then they're done moving. So, but yeah, we'll have to definitely review the information before we move on anything, so we're not wasting time and money.
Sounds good.
All right, moving on to updates. Marion Forks and Minto, Greg.
All right, up at Marion Forks, obviously, as you guys have been experiencing in Portland, we had quite a bit of ice and snow and stuff up at Marion Forks also. Luckily, it's been in ways where we're able to keep up, and so far everything's working well, and the guys just putting in long hours and kind of scattering their schedule to make sure that we're covered 24/7. But the safe fish up there are doing well. Obviously, feeding and everything is low. The last BKD screening was low. So fish-wise and manpower-wise, we're doing pretty good up at Marion Forks. Down here at Minto, experiencing the same ice and snow everybody else has been getting. We did have a large tree that came down about a week and a half ago, took out a light pole and a big section of fence. It also compromised another large tree. It hit it and bent it over. Luckily, it landed on its root wad and secured it in place. We finally got a west wind on Sunday, and our professional tree faller here came and fell that other tree and chunked up the little one. So we're getting that cleaned up, and hopefully we'll have a temporary fix to the fence later this week. Fish-wise, everything's doing well. Fish are doing pretty well in this cold water. We're still gaining a little bit every month. Looking like probably releasing these smolts mid to late February. Chris, obviously, without the new GFR pipe in, we'll have to coordinate flows again. Hopefully we can get some lower flows towards the middle of late of February and get these fish out. But loss and mortalities is low here. We did have one event on January 4th. We had low water alarms that I've never seen before here. It sounds like there was a hiccup at the dam, kind of like with our generator where there was power, but the power went out, generator didn't kick on, and the emergency gate didn't open. It looked like we got down to around 590 to 600 CFS. The pump seemed to continue to work through that low water. We didn't have any adverse effects to the pumps that we saw. So, anyways, about all I got.
Do we have any more trees that we think are going to come down in the near future? In terms of, like, we talked about you had a couple that were rotting or dead.
They didn't, you're going to have to drop the power line, so they're waiting for Pacific Power to come out and give them a bid on what it would cost to drop those lines before the trees. They seem to withstand this last storm, but the faller that came took a couple of cores, and they are rotten pretty much all the way through, so when I get that bid, I'll pass it on to you.
So with Pacific Core, would they... Is it something that they'd want to get out of there anyway?
In terms That's the of... question that we're trying to lean, Chris, like you had mentioned, is if we can pass these off on danger trees to their lines, maybe it wouldn't. Maybe they'd be more helpful, or, you know, they'd take them out themselves. So
right.
Hoping to get out here this week and look at them. So.
Okay. Any questions for Greg? Right.
This is Ryan. This is Ryan. Just a quick update or a quick comment, I guess, on the GFR stuff. So a little bit of disconnect or miscommunication. Greg and I have been working with Ryan McCormick, our chief engineer, and Andy, and had sent Andy kind of a final draft plan for the GFR pipe extension. We thought we were waiting on Andy, and Andy was waiting on us, so just a little miscue there.
Okay.
I talked to Ryan McCormick yesterday, and he's going to try to final up those drawings and plans, get on it this week, if not early next week. So hopefully by end of next week, we should have a final design, and then at least the conversation that Greg, Andy, and I had is then we would approach Jim and folks there at Detroit and see what, if any of that work they can or want to do. Is that about right, Greg?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, hopefully he'll give us that final drawing and we'll try to template it out on how we can do that.
Okay. So we're not waiting on anybody anymore?
Correct. I think we're all on the same page, just waiting on our engineering folks just to wrap up the design piece, which, like I said, should be a week or so. On the other Minto thing, keep in mind, I guess, Chris, something Andy and I and Greg had talked about a number of months ago was the potential for a modified or additional task order to address the pump rebuilds, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you know, some tree and fence issues. So I guess just a note that if there are dollars available floating around, we have used a pretty good-sized chunk of O&M at Minto to cover those pump rebuilds and things that otherwise maybe wouldn't be considered operational.
Sure. If we think we want to move forward on that, I know I talked to Greg already generically about what we think the cost of the fence is, you know, tree removal, light pole, things like that. What would be helpful, anything, any sort of cost that you have incurred that were not typical or atypical, an email just with a one-liner and a cost estimate. And then I can just copy and paste that into a task order if we do have the funding.
Okay.
If that works.
Greg, is that something you can do?
Yeah, I've been keeping them all on a spreadsheet, so that's very easy to do.
And we're not talking about a ton of money. I mean, we're talking maybe 20K, kind of in that neighborhood.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, just out over 20.
Okay, yeah, just shoot that over and we'll work on it.
Thanks, Chris.
Moving on to South CDM, Foster.
Here at the hatchery, we've been busy trying to process all of our summer steelhead eggs. We had a lot of, I guess, a high rate of IHN this year, so we've been culling a lot of eggs. Looks like we're going to meet all of our allocations with negative eggs, so that's the positive, I guess, out of the whole situation, but just been, and then a pretty high shock loss this year as well, so just been spending a lot of time doing that, getting through those eggs and trying to get them out. We've been delayed here due to weather in the gorge, trying to get those eggs to Bonneville and Oak Springs. So anyway, that looks like it's going to finally happen tomorrow. Juveniles are all doing well. We're getting ready to release our spring release, our spring release group, 600,000 spring Chinook smolts. They're on size, on track to going out at the size, I guess, designated by the production schedule. And as far as Foster goes, we're done with spawning. Today we are getting rid of the rest of the brood, and we're dewatering the post-sort portion of the facility, and then hopefully trying to meet with Foster maintenance staff and discuss some repairs that need to be made to the fish lock braille and the bulkhead. And then I guess that's a question I have for you, Chris. Next week we're scheduled to talk to the operators, and the 24th is a good day to dewater the pre-sort pool and fish ladder, and then we'll go ahead and get in and do a fish salvage. But sounds like some of your memo emails have been saying there's going to be a delay.
Yeah, so...
Do you want us to delay the ladder shutdown then as well, or do you want us to proceed with the original that's having that shut down the 26th, 27th?
I think we need to talk about that a little bit now. Originally, we were supposed to get the parts late January, and the manufacturer slash contractor was pushing back in that they were saying that they wouldn't be able to meet those dates in the contract. And so right now, currently, we're pushing back saying, well, no, you need to meet those dates. We have a contract. And that's kind of where things are. So we don't really know when we're going to get the parts, and we're trying to get a solid date. So at this point, we at least need to be dewatered by mid-February, and that's when we're doing the dye work to remove some research equipment. So the lateral will need to be down, and the turbine units will also need to be down because we'll have divers down there. So we'll at least need to be dewatered as early as that, possibly earlier if folks are okay with that. Figuring in things in terms of resourcing and making sure we have staff available and you have staff available, and it works with what you're working on as well, as to when we actually do this dewatering. So it's when we get the parts, but it's also when we can get manpower to do it.
Okay. I just need to let the operators know probably as soon as possible, because they have to put together the request, I guess, to go through that shutdown process.
Right. Does ODFNW, or do you guys have a problem with dewatering as planned, keeping the facility dewatered until we get the work done?
I personally don't, but I mean, because what's driving that is that we haven't seen a winter steelhead yet.
Yeah.
We're expecting a lot of high water here in the upcoming several weeks, so I doubt if we will. And typically, January is a very slow month. I mean, you don't get maybe get one or two.
Right.
And on a good year, this isn't a good year so far. So I don't, but I mean, I guess it'd probably be best to check with Elise as well.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, given the fact that we haven't seen any and we have it planned, and it might be, I think the easiest path would be to just go ahead and proceed with what we have planned.
No, I agree.
Shut down next week.
And
they've got two operators available on the 24th, which helped them out over there.
So let's do that.
Okay.
Let's proceed. That memorandum's out there for Elise to comment on. I don't know if you talked to her a lot or not.
Yeah, I can bring it up. I talked to her the other day.
And I'll try to do the same, just so we're, if I forget, you do it, and if you forget, I do it. And so what I think hopefully will happen is we'll dewater as planned. Maybe you don't get those gates in early February. Maybe they come in mid-February. We'll be ready for those. That we'll also be ready for the dive work that we're going to be doing. And then I wasn't sure if Foster maintenance staff were planning on working on that bulkhead at the same time, but it sounded like that maybe they would. So it sounds like there's going to be a lot of work going on while I have the facility down one time, hopefully, so that we can keep it operating throughout the season.
Yeah, and then the Foster staff can do the work on the bulk on the fish lock while the pre-sort pool and the fish ladder is operational too, because we can just have the post-sort portion of the facility dewatered. So, but that might be a good time for them to get some maintenance done on the pre-sort pool portion as well. So I could bring that up to them.
Okay, yeah. Do that and let me know. I met with those guys yesterday, but we for whatever reason, we didn't talk about that aspect.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to try to meet up with them next week.
Okay. Any other comments from the group? Questions? All right. Is Kurt on the phone? Ryan, any updates that...
Go ahead. Yeah, this is Ryan. Kurt had an appointment this morning. He was going to try to get back in time to catch the call, but sounds like not yet. On all things at McKenzie are pretty good, even through this foul weather. Things are going pretty good. Fish health's good. Water temperature low, so not a lot of fish culture, but things are moving pretty well. One issue that did come up at McKenzie was the frozen and broken pipe due to their domestic water system, or in their domestic water system due to the cold water temperatures. They had a local, well-type contractor come out, fix the problem, did an assessment, and really, the take-home message was that since the facility was built, not a lot of maintenance and upgrades have been done to that domestic water system. Another quick plug that if and when time and money allow, all of the facilities have aging water systems, obviously with the exception of Minto and Foster. That is a deferred maintenance topic and
project that would be a pretty good idea to tackle. I think we could actually be a lot more efficient in how we use water at the hatcheries, pumping and storing with some upgrades to our system. So I guess just a quick plug there. So Kurt was able to fix the system, but I guess the point just that we do have aging infrastructure that we will need to address here sooner than later.
Right. So do you recall if that water system was in your proposal for rehab? You know how we kind of went through that exercise at Cole, and we kind of prioritized what we thought were like the top few. We could do that for all of our Willamette hatcheries as well, is what I'm saying. When time allows, I guess.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, Kurt was going to update a deferred maintenance list he has. I suspect everybody has a list of some sort, and I think I have a few as well. But yeah, if that's something that you and Andy want to see, we can compile and prioritize deferred maintenance lists for each facility.
Sounds good.
Okay. I guess the only other McKenzie note is that the safe production that we're at McKenzie were last week, about half or so of them hauled, and the rest will be this week hauled up to Tongue Point. The weather obviously has been a challenge, so but we are moving those fish a few months early, moving them up to Tongue Point to finish out the rearing there. And that's all I have for McKenzie.
Okay. Well, nothing going on at Cougar or Fall Creek. How about when I'm at Dexter?
I don't think Dan's on as well. Let's see, sent me a quick note. Things are going pretty good. They've pawned their rainbow. Are you on, Dan? Okay, sorry, I thought I heard him. Yeah, things are going pretty good. They've got some snow on the ground, you know, cold temperatures, nothing unlike all the other facilities and everybody else in Oregon. Bonded fish outside, everything's healthy. Early releases are on schedule, so yeah, no real issues to report at Dan, or excuse me, from Dan at Willamette. Making good progress on their RAS building, the water reuse. Didn't talk specifically with Dan about the domestic water systems, but I think there's also again would be an issue that we should address. So again, I'll file a list of all of those. So yeah, that's all I got from Dexter, and then from Leeburg, same kind of story, weather obviously, but hasn't caused any issues. The one larger issue related to Leeburg has been maintenance and deferred maintenance of the Liberation fleet, so fish trucks, trying to replace trucks as allowable. So that's been a bit of an issue with Leeburg. The two trucks that are stationed at Leeburg aren't the highest mileage trucks in the fleet, but due to just the type of engine, that year Bratton International made some changes to their diesel. Anyway, long story, but those trucks are two of the most expensive trucks in the fleet to maintain. So while we don't spend a lot on fuel, we spend a ton of money on maintenance. So replacing trucks in that trout fleet is a much needed investment. So that's all I've got for Leeburg.
Okay. Anything on the last item? I don't think so. Sharp, do you have anything to add to anything?
Hey, I guess. Didn't hear you.
Do you have anything to add to the conversation to wrap it up?
Fish counts at Bennett and Leeburg?
Yeah.
The lower Bennett video has been pulled as of a middle of December, so we have final counts for that and Upper Bennett. I have almost final counts for Leeburg through the middle of November, and I'll have, which means that it doesn't have complete summer steelhead counts yet, but Chinook counts are done, and I'll have the annual final report for that by the end of the week.
Okay.
There were no surprises late in the season. We did not get a huge bolus of wild fish entering the upper McKenzie late in the season. We ended up with high pHOS, but a solid number of natural origin fish, over 1,600 of. That's it.
All right. Anything else in regards to any of these items that we've talked about? I know we probably should start talking fish disposition probably next month or the following, but probably next month, I guess. I don't recall when we usually do it. I think we usually do it in February or March. Anyway, if anyone doesn't have anything else, we'll go ahead and wrap it up.
Well, it looks like the WF bomb is canceled for the 26th.
So that one was, so that was the review of the WFOP.
Okay.
So that one on the 26th was canceled. I don't know if it's possible. I'm going to add an agenda item at the end to try to go through change forms. I got comments from ODF and W and NIMS. Nothing too major. A lot of it's editorial in nature, which I can handle fairly quickly. There are a couple requests from NIMS that might take me a little more time to pull the information together and get it into the report. So we'll see how it goes. We wanted to get it done this month so we could actually print out a few of them for folks. So we'll see, kind of playing it by ear to determine what I can get done before next week. So we will still have the monthly Wolf Palm on that Wednesday, the fourth Wednesday of the month, to discuss memos, issues, and then also the fish operations plan if we have time. So, still on for the 25th, but I canceled that separate one on the 26th. Anything else? All right, thanks everybody.
Thanks, Chris.
See ya.